This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The U.S. Attorney General William Barr is visiting Bethel and Nabuskiak today. He plans to talk with leaders in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta about rural justice issues. That includes murdered and missing Indigenous women, the lack of law enforcement in Alaska Native communities, and the role that the Department of Justice could play in giving tribes more resources. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger has the story.
Ina Marie Cheney is having a busy week at the Tundra Women's Coalition.
Well, it seems like, you know, lately we've been over capacity, and, you know, having to shuffle people in the shelter, like, trying to find room.
She's the shelter manager. In addition to her duties, she's also preparing for the nation's top lawyer to visit Bethel today.
We'll have people that'll meet them out here. We'll walk them.
Attorney General Barr is visiting Alaska to hear about the challenges that Alaska Natives face in the state's justice system. He visited with Alaska Native leaders Wednesday in Anchorage, who told him about the lack of law enforcement in those communities. Vivian Corthius, the CEO of the Association of Village Council Presidents, was one of the leaders there. Here's a clip from KTVA TV.
When I came into the room this morning, I noticed that there are media is here, and I also noticed that there were six cameras, six media outlets. If you count the cameras behind me, there are six of them. We have six VPSOs in our region that serve 56 tribes.
VPSOs stand for Village Public Safety Officers. AVCP operates the program in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Governor Mike Dunleavy wants to slash $3 million from the VPSO program and give it to the Alaska State Troopers instead. That will leave most villages without any law enforcement, because it can take several hours, even days, before a state trooper shows up to a village needing help. AVCP surveyed tribes who said public safety is the number one concern for the past 3 years. Corthia says that the best solutions will come from the tribes because their members are already in the communities. House Representative Don Young has proposed a pilot program that would allow five Alaska Native tribes to expand criminal jurisdiction. The other issue before the U.S. Attorney General William Barr is the fact that Alaska Native women experience some of the highest rates of sexual assault and domestic violence in the nation. A report from the Urban Indian Health Institute says Anchorage is in the top four cities for the most cases of murdered and missing Indigenous women. This is a top priority for Representative Tiffany Zolkuski, a Bethel Democrat and the only Alaska Native woman in the state house.
These are not just numbers. These are real Alaskans. These are Alaskan women. These are, in some cases, Alaskan men, young Alaskan men, Alaska children. We cannot have conversations about public safety and about these statistics without lawmakers recognizing that these are real human lives.
Zolkuski is head of the Special Committee on Tribal Affairs in the House, and that recently passed a resolution that asked Congress to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA. In the past, Attorney General Barr has spoken out against reauthorization. He says it wasn't, quote, a legitimate interest of the federal government. That's according to Newsweek magazine. But he has since changed his stance. Earlier this year, he says he supports reauthorizing the act. In Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
In environmental news, the May smelt run on the Kuskokwim River heralds the arrival of king salmon and other traditional subsistence food. There has been almost no studies on the small fish until Donlin Gold proposed building one of the biggest gold mines in the world in the river delta. The company says the data they're collecting will help determine how future barge traffic from the mine will impact the smelts, but residents who oppose the mine say the study isn't enough. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger has the story.
It happens every May. You get a text message or see a Facebook post that the smelts have arrived in Bethel.
Yeah. Little fishy.
Then you run down to the riverbank to fill your bucket with the small fish. You might fry them up later or feed them to your dog. It's a big deal because after the smelts come the king salmon. Here's Mary Mathias, the Natural Resource Director at the Rutikahamut Native Council in Bethel.
With the recent harvest, we caught some huge ones. They were like kind of big, like bigger than normal. Mm-hmm. And I teased my husband. I said, look, we caught a steak.
Alaska is a fish state. Huge political battles take place over protecting salmon habitat. But smelt are different. There aren't a lot of studies on smelt in the Kuskokwim River. And that could be a problem, according to Dave Cannon, a retired fish biologist who lives in Aniak and opposes the mine. One of the world's biggest gold mines could be built not far from Aniak. Donlin Gold is trying to build it in a remote location in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, so it must barge supplies up to the Kuskokwim River during the summer. Here's Dave Cannon.
Up until recently, we didn't know a whole lot about them until 2014 and 15, when there were some studies done, pretty rigorous studies, tied in with the Donlin project.
But Cannon says that doesn't mean the company has enough data to tell how an increase in barge traffic would impact the fish. He says there needs to be more studies. But collecting that data can be a challenge because the smelt run doesn't last long.
The fact that they're only here for a short period, if it was possible to document, you know, their numbers, their abundance, or their actual population levels, you'd have to focus real hard just for those couple days.
Donlin Gold says it's aware of those problems. Christina Woolston is the company's spokesperson. She says Donlin had to start from scratch to study smelt habitat during the environmental review process.
To our knowledge, this has never been done before. It's not a project or a program that's funded by the state or federal government.
The Donlin studies have shown waves from the barges can push the smelt eggs around. And if water levels in the river are very low, that exposes the eggs even more. This is a huge concern for people in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta who rely heavily on subsistence. Donlin promises to use shallow barges and monitor smelt habitat to keep collecting data.
You have to start somewhere, and by engaging in the smelt study, you know, starting in 2014, we'll have a number of years' worth of data by the time the project finally gets into construction and starts barging.
Cannon and ONC's Matthias think the best solution is if Donlin ceases barge traffic during the time that it takes for the smelt to spawn in the Kuskokwim. But it's unknown if Donlin will go that far, Cannon says, especially since they have a small window to get supplies up to the mine by barge. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel.
The case of a fossilized mammoth tusk stolen in Anchorage last year has finally come to a close. On Wednesday, a second man charged with stealing the rare relic from a museum was sentenced to nearly 3 years in prison. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, prosecutors believe it's only the second time a case has been charged under a little-known law meant to curb illegal traffic in natural artifacts and historical relics.
According to the Justice Department, last March, 41-year-old Gary Boyd and another man broke into the Campbell Creek Science Center and stole a very big, very old woolly mammoth tusk, fossilized over the course of several thousand years.
So this tusk was a connection to all of human history.
Jonas Walker prosecuted the case for the government. At a financial level, the tusk was valued at $7,000 to $9,000, but the prosecution says it was an irreplaceable artifact. In court documents, Boyd admitted that he got a few hundred dollars after an accomplice cut up the ancient ivory into chunks that were then resold. According to Boyd, at the time, he was homeless, in debt, and struggling with a decades-long addiction to methamphetamine. The case ended up in federal court for two reasons. Number one, the tusk was stolen from a Bureau of Land Management facility. And number two, Walker says, the theft falls within the purview of a 2009 law passed by Congress to prevent the plunder of natural and historical artifacts.
So it is a federal crime to take paleontological resources from federal land without a permit.
In court documents, the acting director for BLM in Alaska says that theft of archaeological and paleontological objects overlaps heavily with the illegal drug trade and constitutes part of a national epidemic, adding that the scale of theft in the lower 48 has been prolific and has the potential to expand even more. Walker says this is only the second time prosecutors have charged a case under the Paleontological Resources Protection Act since it went on the books a decade ago. A federal judge sentenced Boyd to 33 months in prison and ordered him to pay more than $8,000 in restitution for the destroyed property. For 3 years after his release, he's also barred from visiting national parks, forests, or BLM land without permission from a probation officer. Boyd's accomplice, 53-year-old Martin Elsey, received the same sentence last month. Boyd's lawyer declined to comment on the outcome of the case. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for the UPIC News coming up.